Yeah, of course.
Blog Talk Radio.
I just did a brand new intro and it's really good, but you don't get to hear it. Instead, you're going to hear this, which means you'll be unhappy with my opening. All right, so we've been trying to pilfer some more folks on the internet to come onto the program. And we threw some bait out there, and we seem to have hit on a few things. And what I'd like to say first and foremost, you're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. That is correct. Blog Talk Radio. For a couple of bucks, you can be a radio star. You can. You really can. Live. On Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show. With John the Argo Boat Logo Granger. Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Yes, as always promised, that is correct. They will all be here, I promise. Due to technical difficulties, there's this echo in here. Do you hear the echo? I hear the echo. Okay, let's bring in the guys that are here. But, okay, guys, I'll have you say hello to Trap Hicks, all right? And then we're going to interview Trap Hicks. Now, I feel trapped myself, I must admit. Hey, Trap, how you doing, buddy? Oh, you know what, Trap? I got to turn on your mic. Let's try that on for size. Hey, Trap, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, man. Thanks, man.
Hey, my pleasure. Okay, first of all, give me an idea. I don't know you from Adam. Let's say I don't know you from Adam. For the folks out there, tell them who you are. First of all, where you've played.
Okay, well, first off, my real name is Daquan Hicks. I'm a 24-year-old veteran out of last couple of years. I've been playing Orlando football, elite college,
Trap. Trap, can I call you? I think I'm gonna check with one of my guys because your mic is awful. Let me just check with one of my guys.
Okay.
Can you hear him talking, Mr. Salonen?
He's kind of chalky a little bit. He kind of sounds a little chalky and about, you know, like a computer voice.
Okay. Try it again, and if not, I'll call you back. I got your number here. You're calling on your phone,
okay.
Right, Trap?
Yes.
All right, so continue again, because we really couldn't hear you, right? Right, Danny?
Okay, that's cool.
That's right.
Give it a try again, buddy. The telephone, maybe if I call you, it'll be better. Maybe I'll do that. Your number is the 717 number, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you a call right now, okay? And
okay.
We'll see if
it,
we
right.
can improve the – hang up, and we'll see if we can improve the quality of the phone call. It really
okay.
I would really like to be able to hear – I really like to be able to hear what you're saying with a little more clarity. So hang up the phone, and I'll call you right this second. I will, I
all
promise.
Right, cool.
We'll do it on the air. When I see you hang up, I'm going to hit the dial button.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
And 3, 2, gone. Okay, now here, listen to the phone. It's dialing. I promise, you'll hear it dial. There it is, okay. So, Danny, how's it going? Welcome to the program. First-time caller, first-time guest host. I need to ask you what your favorite team is in the CFL.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Oh, shoot, another Tiger Cat fan. Oh, too many of those. But then again... Okay, joining us now, let's pretend like we just started, Trap Hicks. Mr. Hicks, how's it going, buddy?
Cool. Hey, I'm pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, you know what? Honest to goodness, Trap, that sounds a lot better. Really, it does much better, doesn't it, Danny?
It sounds so much better, Trap. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right, so Trap Hicks, you've got a line on making the CFL or the NFL. Tell us about your history first. Where you played college?
Okay, well, first off, my real name is Saquon Hicks, but everybody calls me Trap. I'm a 24-year-old undrafted free agent out of Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland. The past few years, I've been playing pro arena ball. I've been playing in a league called the American Football League. In 2012, I was a member of the Virginia Badgers. And in 2013, I was a member of the Washington Eagles. Pretty much looking for my shot at NFL, CFL, AFL. And
yep. Oh, don't mind that. Don't mind that. That's a mistake on my part. Yeah, and so you are one of those guys that's hoping to become a pro player. And in the CFL or the NFL, I understand from my secret information gatherers, otherwise known as Mike Townsend, that you have some aspirations and some hope to play in the NFL or the CFL. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the goal. Those are the best leagues in the world.
Now, Trap. The name Trap implies something that might have something to do with your position, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Pretty much it's a nickname I got from my peers as a youngster. Pretty much with me on the back, I was always extremely fast, so I would let my receiver get a little bit of space on me, and I would beat the quarterback in the throw. And by the time he threw it, as soon as that ball come out of his hand, he realized that it was a trap. And next thing you know, I'm going the other way with.
But it was too late.
Oh, yeah, it was too late. See, by the time he threw out of his hand, it was over.
Absolutely. So then, as a defender, you play the indoor league, and we've had guys on this show tell us that when it comes to receivers, that's a great league to develop for the Canadian Football League. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be for defenders, would it? You can really work on your game as a defender in the AFL, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. It makes the game a lot slower. I mean, it's a faster-paced game, so once you get it down pat, it makes everything a lot slower, but it really does enhance you as a defensive back.
Hmm. Okay. Let me bring in some other guys that are on the show. What we do here, Trap, I think you can call me Trap Frank now, because I think you might have been Trap too, because you came in here. I hope you didn't think that you were just going to have one guy to talk to you. You're going to have like six.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Are you ready for this?
That's great. Yes, sir.
Well, we'll see. Oh, there we go. We lost somebody again. All right, and that was John we lost again. That's the second time I've called him, the second time we've lost him. Well, first, let me do some introductions here. And as I said, we have Trap Hicks with us. He's an AFL player, and he's going to be trying out for teams in the CFL as well as the NFL. Now, how hard is it, how hard a road has it been to get the right eyes pointed at you, Trap?
Oh, man, it's been a long road. I've been at it for, I'm going to say, steady going on 5 years now. You just have to be patient and just really just have to hope and just keep grinding.
Okay, I'm going to bring in Mike Townsend now, and thanks to Mike, you're on the air tonight. Thanks, Mike, for bringing in Trap. Mr. Hicks is a real special player, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Frank?
Good, my man. How you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, what's up, Trap?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Oh, man, chilling, man. You know what I'm saying? Moseying down the road, bro. You know how it is out here. Got to grind.
Definitely.
Yeah, for all you guys, man, that don't know about Trap Hicks, man, y'all can go on YouTube and watch his videos, man. Last year he played for the Washington Eagles, and I got a chance to see him play when I went to the York Capitals game, man, and this guy's the real deal at that defensive back spot. So check out his YouTube videos.
Definitely appreciate it, man.
Give us an idea from your perspective as a fan, since you've had a chance to watch him. What makes Trap so special in your mind?
Like he said, man, he baits the receiver and he baits the quarterback. He give him some cushion, and he'll let the receiver think that he got him beat. And then as soon as that quarterback throw that ball, man, that speed just kicks in, and next thing you know, he intercepted the ball, man, and he going in for a pick six. You know, from the time that I do see him play and watch the videos, some of the quarterbacks are scared to even throw his way.
Wow. Now, also, one of the things that makes it difficult as a CFL player is the fact that, you know, that it's getting to know players and getting to know the game. Now, we've listened to receivers tell us about the waggle, and you have the waggle in the Indoor Football League. Tell us what that means to a defender.
Well, we go about it calling it pretty much the high motion receiver. Pretty much he'll start on either side of the field, and he'll come running full speed from about, I'll say, it varies. Well, some receivers go about 10 yards, some go about 15, some go 20. Well, they just get about a running head start from about 15 to 20 yards, and by the time they're crossing the line, the quarterback is snapping the ball, so it just makes it more difficult, but it translates and makes you a much better DB.
Now, as far as the CFL is concerned, what do you know about the CFL?
Oh, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the CFL. I didn't know too much about it till last season. I watched a lot of games last season. I have a ton of games recorded on my DVR. I was watching the CFL game from this season earlier today. I pretty much understand it. The rules, it kind of struck me as a blend of indoor rules and outdoor rules, just on the bigger field, but it's still some rules that I would have to learn, but I pretty much I understand it for the most part.
If you had a question of somebody that knew the CFL, understood the CFL, what would that question be? In as far as playing the game's concerned.
That's a good question.
You got all the time in the world. You got all the time,
have a good
buddy.
Question.
Okay.
All right. Here it goes. If I had to ask a question, I would ask somebody, how would you know, coming from a defensive back perspective, how would you know which position would be best for you in the defensive backfield? Because me personally, I feel like I could play. I saw that there's a couple in the CFL, there's a couple receivers that come in motion, And then there's also a couple of receivers that are stationary. So, I mean, me, myself, I feel like I could do both. But my question would be, how would somebody know which position would be, like, their true position for the CFL?
Okay, I'll try and answer this way. Is I would go into camp, make sure that all my abilities are out there, that the coach can
okay.
see anything and everything that I can do, and then hope that he would direct me and use me in a way that would take advantage of my talents. That would be my answer to the question. Anybody else got an answer to that question?
I feel the same way, depending on how fast I can run. If you want to be a man-on-man with the guy that's in motion, or you want to be a man-on-man with the stationary receiver, you know, depending on how fast you are.
Okay.
Can I jump in here?
Absolutely.
Please do.
Okay, Trap, this is Christopher. I've been a Facebook friend of yours for a year now, since Mikey Townsend introduced us. We partner up on the CFL site together.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, buddy. I've watched all your videos. I've looked at them back and forth. A true cornerback in the CFL is kind of where you want to be, with the wide receivers on the move. The DBs, the cornerbacks, you want to be in the corner. Enough to get there,
okay.
You're fast enough to deal with them. Personal opinion, anywhere in the backfield is going to be a good spot. But you know what? If you can take down Manny Arsenal with
okay.
the speed down the side, or an Akeem Foster, just two of the Lion receivers or X-Lion receivers that I know about, but there's a couple more in the league that are just as fast. And getting a DB to be able to keep up with them, that's important. That is very important. Get yourself into a team that's got a bunch of ball hawks already. BC's backfield, I'm a BC fan. Can you tell?
Definitely.
Their ball hawks back there are Ryan Phillips, Dante Marsh, Cord Parks, some of the best in the league without question. We're looking for some new young talent in that backfield. Where the guys are getting old. It's time to be bringing some speed, some youth into there. I would be hitting them up really hard right now. I'd be showing up at their camps, that's for sure.
Definitely.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yep,
Travis.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I was saying, definitely, that's in my DC. It's definitely one of the teams I'm taking a look at. Actually, I'm participating in this combine, the special combine, at the end of the month on February the 27th in Virginia, where every single CFL team is supposed to be, or they already confirmed that they'll be in attendance. So I'll definitely get a chance to show what I can do to the BC coaching staff.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
If I could jump in here, guys, this is Kelly Bale. How you doing, man? Trap,
how you doing,
this
man?
Is Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan here. I just wanted to say, if you're concerned about money, cornerback's where it's at. Halfbacks make about $20,000 less a year. Another thing is, when you're down at that combine, look out for Joe Womack. He's the Rough Riders U.S. scout. He'll definitely be there. I already talked to him about that one, and he is going to be representing the Riders there. So that's the guy's name, Joe Womack.
All right, definitely. I'll keep an eye out for him.
You don't want to wear green, man. That's bad. No, don't do that.
Okay.
I got another question for Trap, if y'all don't mind. Hey, Trap.
Go ahead.
You know, you played in the AIF last year. Now, the Pennsylvania Steam is the new team that you're playing for. If I'm not mistaken, they're in the X League, right?
Yes.
Tell the fans out there, man, that, I mean, I showed a lot of people some film on the AIF, but they never see anything from the X League, because X League is a brand new league from the old UIFL system. Tell the fans, man, what's the difference in between the AIF and what's the new rules in the X League?
All right, that's a good question. Well, the X League pretty much is a new league. It's trying to do a new thing. It has pretty much most of the arena rules, but it has some differences that make it stick out. They have their own special game ball. It's a unique ball with it has about three colors on it, but it's pretty unique. In the X League, we don't do kickoffs. We pretty much they do a thing called X Dash, like pretty much at the beginning of the game. And when somebody scored a touchdown, what they would do is they pretty much would place the ball. They would have two balls. They would place them at the 20-yard lines, and each team would have a representative pretty much on, they would face the end zone. And when the whistle was blown, both players, they run to the 20-yard line to pick up the ball and run it back to the end zone. And the first player that gets there, then that team is awarded points. I believe it's two. It should be 2 or 3 points. I'm not completely sure, but it's definitely one of those two. Another thing that makes the X-League, well, one of my favorite things about the X-League so far is me being a defensive back, that you get points for turnovers. So you get in the, let's say I get an interception, my team would get points, we would get the ball, of course, and we would get about like 3 points. Not to mention if I run it back for a touchdown, then you get 3 points on top of the touchdown. So just little things like that, it's just going to make the X-League very exciting this year.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And another part to my question. Last year, y'all played against the York Capitals, which I was like at 3 games last year. And you already know, man, you and Archie Smith, man, were like my best DBs in the league. And this year, it seemed like both of y'all on the same team. So how excited are you to play side-by-side with Archie Smith and also have Keith Stokes on the offensive end?
Oh, man, those guys are like legends, man. I remember being back in high school, man. These guys, they were like all league, these guys, man. They're great. They both still great ball players. And this will be my first time playing indoor ball with these guys. I played outdoor with them this summer, but this will be my first time playing indoor ball with them, man. Those guys are great. I'm just looking forward to it. Hopefully I can help those guys bring a championship back to Pennsylvania.
There you go. And for you guys that don't know who Archie Smith is, man, he's a 6-foot corner that played for the York Capitals. And when I say a shutdown corner, I mean a shutdown corner, man. I mean, these guys, when I seen them play against Harrisburg Stampede, they were down. I mean, they were getting blown out. But he was the only one that didn't give up playing the whole 4 quarters, man. He played. He had like 3 interceptions, 2 breakups, and almost took one back to the house, man. So this guy, Archie Smith, is the real deal. And, I'm a Lakeland Raider fan, but I'm looking forward to seeing y'all play, man, down in Lakeland. And, you know, I'm just going to be cheering for both teams, man.
Well, I definitely appreciate it, man. Archie, man, he's like a big brother to me. He's a great guy.
Now, when you get a chance to play against these guys that you've admired in the past, how does it help you in your overall growth as a player? Obviously, when you first play against them, you must be really taken aback a little bit by their greatness, if you don't mind me saying that. How easy is it to get over the fact they're that great, and then you forget that they're guys that you admired, now they're guys you want to take the ball from?
Well, it took me a little, I'll say when the game first started, it was a bit surreal. I was like, I was just kind of looking at them like, man, I knew them a little bit. I knew them kind of a little well before the game started, but it's a little different when you actually get on the field with them and you see those guys moving full speed. They're just great ball players. So, I mean, once the game kicked off and everything got into the swing of things, everything was cool then. I mean, I talked to them in between plays, but in between the whistle, I know it's no love lost, but everybody know how it goes.
You got that right. All right, let me bring in one of our new guys. You've all met Danny Salonen, and now I'm going to introduce you to Serge Devlucien, or you pronounce your name the way it should be pronounced, Serge.
Hey, you got it. Yeah,
that's it. Oh, get out.
No problem.
Really?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
Good enough. Yeah.
All right, now, what team do you root for?
Well, as Alouettes are my team, Montreal Alouettes. As a kid, I guess like Tom Hanks, Montreal Concords are my team, so...
So,
I grew up a Concords fan and became an Alouettes fan when they came back. So there we go.
Yeah, the Concords were the first, move away from the Alouettes, right?
Well, I guess it was like the Ottawa Renegades. You know, they went from Roughriders to Renegades. So Montreal went from, Alouettes went sort of bankrupt, and basically Charles Brofman took over the team and renamed it Concords to the test of many people, but I like the logo. I like, you know, they weren't a team that won very often, so whenever they won, it was a big deal. So.
And Bronfman is one of those guys that you may or may not know. He's quite a rich man in Canada, and he also owned the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, he did take but didn't he have money? He at one time even was
kind of, but he was, I don't think, a main. I mean, his biggest ownership, his biggest team was the Expos. So, until
1990. Isn't he the one? Isn't he the one who? No, that was Gillette that sold him back to Quebec interests.
Yeah.
Anyway, regardless, you know, the CFL has had to have teams like that, or I should say. Cities that have needed a little help to stay alive. The CFL's gone through some tough times. We've got a player here who's going to be trying out in the CFL. But first, we'll help him to learn a little bit more about the CFL. You know, the Argonauts right now are in the same boat that the Alouettes were in prior to them deciding to go to McGill. By that, I mean the ownership that they have. There's nothing wrong with the ownership, but it isn't long-term ownership. Then long-term ownership took over for the Owls, right? And things got much better with the using of McGill as a place to play their home games. It all worked out really well.
It was a miracle, man. I mean, you know, I remember the 97 season, you know, there was barely 10,000 people a game at the Big O. And that one game, November 2nd, because of that, you know, they were bumped out because of the U2 concert, had 16,000, and we just built from there. And it was, you know, the place is such a wonderful place, like a drug, you know, going there. And watching games, it's awesome. And, yeah, it's kind of what's missing for the Argos. They need that really special place that they can call and say, yeah, this is our place. They tried it one time, I think, was when university was, that offered the possibility, and then it fell through. It didn't work out. So, but the Argos, now, I don't know, there's talk about MLSC buying them and maybe moving them to BMO Field, which may be the only option unless they really want to build a new stadium.
Oh, that is the only option. It's the one that they're going to take. That's where they're going. We're just waiting to hear about it. And I want to apologize to the folks out there who normally I give a link, and I apologize. I've been too busy trying to call John. I've called you now at least 10, 12 times, and you keep hanging up on me or something just isn't hooking up. I'll keep trying. But I've been using the time that normally I put the link up there to try and hook up with people and make phone calls. So I apologize to those of you that are finally getting the link. Yes, when I get a chance, I put the link up there. So, Serge, we got a guy from the United States, another American football player that's going to come up if he can to play in Canada and then want to stay and live here because it's such a beautiful place. Do you have a, as far as I know, from what I hear, Montreal's not a bad place to play football for Americans, is it?
Well, it's not, because, you know, a lot of players have been through here and have made nice careers here. And interestingly, a lot of players that had come to Montreal as new players, once they became established, went on to, you know, once they become free agents, they went on to move on to other teams and sometimes, you know, they make more money. So it was a case at one point when Dave Ritchie was the head coach and he moved to Winnipeg and he took a lot of players that Jim Popp brought in that, you know, were no names, nobody knew them. And they all suddenly spread out through the CFL and became big names. So, you know, it's a place that it's been like a nice entry point for a lot of players that came for the first time into this league and went on to develop and become big names and with other teams. The Eskimos at one time, too, would take a lot of those players, like, you know, Alfred Payton or so on, so Mike Pringle. So, you know,
I don't think the song's any different anywhere, Serge. I believe that every city in Canada is a great entry point. A lot of teams, even Anthony Calvillo didn't start in Montreal. So, you know, I mean, he even started in the U.S., you know, and ended up coming to Montreal. So it works every way. Right. So I guess Trap Hicks, who's the ball player we've got in here in the room with us talking to us, anywhere you end up, Trap, keep your eyes open. There might be a city you like a lot more than others. Toronto, I mean, not to mention any names, but, you know, you know, things are okay everywhere in Canada. I mean, there isn't a city, Trap, that you won't fall in love with. And once you get to some cities, even when you go to a place like Kelly's town, Saskatchewan, where it's fairly cold, and then or Winnipeg, where it's really cold, you'll the people there are so warm, you don't get too cold. So it's a really great place to play football. When you ask about what position you should play, you heard the advice that we had for you. As a player, as a person, let's talk as a – we've talked a little bit as a player, but as a person, how far away have you gone to play football? In other words, how far away from home and how far have you gone out to a different kind of culture or place? Because even within the United States, you know, a guy from Louisiana isn't going to get upstate New York. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I played ball in the last couple of years. I played out D.C., Washington, D.C. area. I played out West Virginia. I played out Virginia. Played a couple of places in Pennsylvania. Just, like, nothing really too far, but kind of all around in the, I would say, states that's pretty much connected to each other.
Yeah. You're not too far.
You can
not
throw
too
rocks
far
at
physically.
Each other.
Yeah, but still, Christopher, in fairness to what he said, you know, in Virginia, it's pretty cold. In Baltimore, not so much when you get further away from the ocean. But I got to say, in Pennsylvania, you get to get used to playing in the cold if you play outside. But in the case that you're playing, all this has been indoors, right? So it's always 70 degrees.
Well, most of them, I've been playing outdoor. I played a couple of years semi-pro ball here in Pennsylvania. Well, weather's out here in Pennsylvania is crazy. Like, right now, it's supposed to be another snowstorm tonight right now, but it was a couple inches of snow. It was like 12 inches of snow the other day, so it gets pretty cold out here in Pennsylvania.
How do you like playing in the cold? What do you like or not like about playing in the cold? Give us an idea of your interpretation of playing in the cold.
Well, I mean, it's not too bad for me. It comes down to a matter of me keeping myself warm. Like, as long as I have on apparel, I'll be fine. That's what it really pretty much comes down to with me.
Well, the good news is that as a defensive back, you don't have to worry about closing your hands. All you can do, you can do what you do with your open hand if you have to. Receiver, different story. He has to close his hands around the ball.
Sure that.
All right. Well, listen, you're more than welcome to hang around. You're gonna learn if you want. You can hang around and listen to CFL talk, and you'll get to learn a little bit about the game. Right now, what we've got up here, which you might not want to hear, is we're going to talk about also some free agents that are available, and obviously the cupboard's starting to get empty, but there are some, you know, clear opportunities for teams still, and these experts, these so-called experts I have in here, I'm sure they'll help us understand, you know, who and what's out there. And, you know, we've got guys like, then there was that trade. We can talk about the trade that Saskatchewan brought back Shamari Williams, and they got rid of a punter, Josh Bartel. I got to check my Facebook to see if Bruce John Inch wants to be in. Right now we've got a fairly full room. I've been really busy, so guys, if I haven't called you yet, please, I apologize. If you want to be on the program tonight and you want me to call you, remember how it works, Facebook message me. Hope to heck that I can actually see the Facebook message, and I'll give you a call. So, first of all, guys, we'll do the introductions again. Trap Hicks, prospective NFL, CFL player. Mike, say hello.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
To the room, and give us your first – what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about the trade? Let's talk about the trade. Now, what do you think of that trade, Mike, that Hamilton made with Saskatchewan as a Hamilton fan?
Well, you know, Hamilton is rebuilding, and I think they made the trade because they feel they're going to probably – get somebody else at that spot, or they got another youngster that they're trying to bring up in the wings to see what they have. So, I mean, you know, he was pretty good on their end. I mean, Ken Austin is revamping that whole team.
Danny, how about you? You're another Hamilton fan.
I'm a diehard Hamilton fan, yeah.
Do you think of that trade?
I think the trade was a good move. The reason why is because they've got their number one punter back. They got Justin Luff back, and they're looking to rebuild, and I don't think they were looking for much for pretty much as a really big backup. I think that Saskatchewan was looking for backup, and for Saskatchewan, they're looking on their strengths and their weaknesses, and the weaknesses might have been, you know, the kicking team. So sorry for the Rough Riders out there, you know, bring back Medlock, and Medlock did good in the NFL, but he couldn't cut it in the NFL, so they decided to bring him back, you know, bring him back in Hamilton. Hamilton knew he was good, and they couldn't afford to lose him, so they had to make some room for him.
Yep.
Christopher, how about you?
I have no idea what this trade, how this happened, or what, why anybody would do this. But just to remove the two players for a second, Saskatchewan gave up a 9th pick and 11th pick for an 8th round pick. That would make sense to Saskatchewan. I have no idea why that would make sense to Hamilton. And then Hamilton threw in two extra players into this. It's totally illogical. I mean, they gave up Josh Bartel, Somali Williams, and the 8th round pick to get a 9th round pick and 11th round pick. Where's the logic here? I don't see it.
You know, it's probably money.
There you go. There you go. It has to do with contracts.
Yep.
Whenever you see something like that, there's a contract somebody's trying to unload somewhere in the picture. Bartel probably had a guaranteed contract of some sort.
And trading Williams to Saskatchewan, that eased up some money because they can draft the guy at that position or sign one for a cheaper price. So, you know, they're trying to get rid of the contract.
So they did. I have it from good authority that $120,000 was saved when Bartel was shipped to Saskatchewan. I also have it on good authority that really Shamari Williams was not that big an asset in Austin's eyes. Austin felt he could deal that guy out easily without, worrying about replacing him, just like Mike has just said. So that's the logic there. Serge, how do you feel about the trade? Does it affect Montreal in any way? Do you think Hamilton's stronger or weaker, or is it a move that doesn't really, you know,
well,
strike you that
I'm actually on Rider Fans, and I'm checking out some reactions. And some guy said, "Is it April 1st?"
So I guess
you got that one. Got an idea there. No, personally, I don't know. I don't know how that affects really for the Alouettes. I'm not. I think it's something that's much more for Saskatchewan Hamilton. So.
Yeah, I think you know what? By virtue of what you're saying, I think some of the Saskatchewan fans, and we're going to find out from one in particular who's very well versed, and I saved the best for last, otherwise known as Kelly Bell.
Kelly,
what do you think of this trade, Kelly?
Well, guys, it's a head scratcher at best. Definitely
it's
both sides. It's tough to find out what's going on, isn't it, Chris? I mean, you try to get inside the mind of
Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Well, I don't really feel that way. I think we gave up a lot, personally, for what we got in return, and that's with everything that's been said considered. The fact that we're taking on money. And you know, you swap one for two draft picks. Well, you move up a spot. I guess that's okay. But I'd rather have the two cheaper Canadians than the one more expensive in Bartel, especially when you consider that we have a kicker, Brett Cameron. He's been on our team since last year. It's the son of Bob Cameron. And we all know Bob had a pretty awesome leg, so... I was getting really excited to watch him boom some in the preseason, but you got to wonder what their plan is for him. Another thing that was pointed out is that you got to kind of wonder, is Hamilton trying to get a specific guy at a specific draft position, and that's why they're maybe okay with giving up the earlier pick, because they think a guy will fall to 9 or 11 or whatever. But, I mean, that doesn't play into
but not
the CFL
that.
Draft
not
as much as it
that.
Does other drafts. Yeah, right. I just really think that it's a bit of a head-scratcher. I know I'm not happy with Shamari Williams.
I have the real reason why they made the trade, Kelly. I have the real reason why they made the trade. It was a form of an apology to Hamilton for beating the crap out of them in the Grey Cup.
Ouch.
Maybe it could have been.
That's a slap. You know what there, Frank.
Yeah, I'm right.
This is a family show.
So, it's quite possible that it works out for everybody. But again, for me too, it's a head scratcher because I do know that Saskatchewan didn't think they had problems at kicking at that position. That's why it's
a
head scratcher.
Well,
we do have a guy
that's on the way out. It's Ricky Schmidt. He's our punter from last year. It's been heavily speculated that he'll be signed by an NFL team within the next week.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So then there's a hole.
So we do need a punter.
All right. So then what it means is that because this is where Saskatchewan and their deep pockets come in handy, because their pockets are a little bit deeper than Hamilton's, right? So, pretty much all the other teams as well. So they can afford to take on this contract, and if they had to, they could eat it, and it wouldn't bother them for a second. Well, okay, maybe it would bother them for a second, but, you know, not much longer than that. So that trade was interesting. Why don't we move on to free agency, and we've got the thing that I wanted to talk about as well is the wonder that is a player moving teams. Emery, Butler, Johnson, these guys are talking about being ready to lead. Now, Serge knows Emery real well. He comes from Montreal. He joins Tim Burke. A coach from back in Montreal. He publicly announces that he's more than happy that Emery, Emery's happy that he's joining Burke again, and these are two guys that know each other. What do you guys think of the trade? Kelly, I'll start with you this time. Are they going to be impactful for their teams, Emery, Butler, Johnson?
Absolutely they are. All three of those guys. I'm sure you're talking about Jamal Johnson.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay. Right. All three of these guys are going to play a role. It kind of makes me wonder where Anton McKenzie's at in BC, as Chris alluded to, I think, on Facebook. But, it's definitely a thing. I mean, you get guys of those quality in your lineup, and immediately you're just better on paper for sure and 99% of the time on the field. So I think they'll have big impacts on their teams, especially Butler. I think that defense really was missing one guy, and I think they got that guy.
Can I jump in for a second?
Sure,
yeah.
Please.
Jamal Johnson, you know, I'm glad he went back to BC because I think he was kind of missing that too, and he kind of showed towards in BC. Picking up Butler, I think it was a fantastic move. I think we were missing somebody, and you know it's awesome that we picked him up, and I open with big huge wide arms and say welcome to our team, and hope you're going to be the Grey Cup contender and the MVP for us. So you know, we're kicking the start of Saskatchewan next year too.
He did well for Saskatchewan last year, as Kelly will tell you.
He's coming back, buddy, and he's coming back with black and gold and going to gollop up those riders, like eat them like so much it's not even funny.
You know what?
Trash talk is going.
It was a good sign for Hamilton to get Craig Butler, man. You know, they needed somebody to solidify that defensive corner. Besides Core Parks and Chip Cox, man, Craig Butler is one of the best that play the game, so why not go out and get him, you know?
It's linebacker, by the way.
Right, but they got him listed as a corner, too.
Safety or a linebacker.
He's a safety. He's going to be a DB, but he's going to play safety.
Yeah, defensive back,
He's going to have the same position as what, like, Corey Banks had, where he's playing the safety position, but he's also an outside rush going after the QB, and Butler will go after that QB. We saw him take out Pierce a couple of times really well.
I called him a corner because, you know, you look at a defensive back, he's a corner. That's the reason I called him that.
That's right.
You know,
Well, all I want to say one thing is, you know what? It's really good that he came back. And you know what? Honestly, I'm not trying to put down for the rest of the West, but I'm just saying one thing. I think East is going to prevail huge next year. Montreal is going to do good with Troy Smith. Dead last probably, but, you know, that's different. I think, you know, the Red Blacks with Burris over there, like, honestly, I think the West is going to be humongous next year. It's going to be a great, great cup that the East is going to prevail huge, and it's been waiting for time. It's time for the East to come back and kick some AWS.
Now, I'm going to have to bring Serge on here. Serge, did you hear that Montreal's going to finish last? Did you hear that?
Well, you know, that's what everyone wants because, you know.
No,
they
is it? That's not what I want.
They haven't done it in 18 years, right. So, you know, everybody's waiting for that moment to happen. But what they don't understand is Montreal is such a, you know, tough market to sell football that, you know, they can't allow themselves to be last. So, you know, that's why we got Jim Popp here because, you know, we need a team that's in the playoffs every year if you're going to sell this team so it doesn't end up like the 86 Alouettes and disappear for 10 years. So it's like, everybody thinks we're due, but it's like, you know, we do everything to prevent that from happening. So, you know, to their credit.
But do you really think that Montreal is still that fragile when it comes to the CFL and if they don't win?
I think
it's
much better now because we have a really big, good core of maybe 20,000 fans, which you see even, you know, the Argos, even if, you know, they draw 20,000. The core is there, and I think as long as that core is there, then I'm not too worried if we have a... And I think even Montreal, if it was going to happen that they were going to somehow finish last, they would fight tooth and nail, right? I mean, they're not a team that's likely going to go, like, 315. I mean, you saw last year when...
I'm not sure that, you know what, Serge, I'm not sure Montreal's going to finish last. The Red Blacks, and everyone who listens to the show knows how I feel about the Red Blacks and how proud I am of the job that they've done. I think they've done a stupendous job. But still, it's a pretty big startup that they're putting together. You know, it's not a small thing, you know. As much as Austin was, you know, cheered on and appreciated for what he did in Hamilton, they had a pretty good offense when he got there, you know. Yeah, he had to plug a few holes on defense, but he had something, and I don't want to, I hope the Red Black fans don't get mad at me, but they're not starting off with the same that Hamilton had the year before last, I don't think. I mean,
no,
guys, you can jump on me all you want, but.
Okay,
I'm
going to
jump
on
this just for a second. Just let me play with this one. Toronto has a QB that's had some health issues. Their backup has left. Hamilton's got an unproven starter, got a good team, but an unproven starter. Montreal does not have a coach and does not have a QB of any significance. We don't know what Torrey Smith is going to do like this. We could see Ottawa in first place. We could see Ottawa in first place in the East. Okay?
Well,
so,
you know what, man? I'm not going to jump on Montreal that bad, man. Hey, Frank. Come on now. I'm not going to jump on Montreal that bad about the quarterback position.
Neither am I.
Troy Smith showed that he can be a starter in the NFL, man. Come on, Chris. Come on now.
No, I'm not dissing Troy Smith in any way, shape, or form, but he played three games, okay? So he's not a CFL quarterback yet. But hang on. I'm just saying that there's a possibility in that. And I've come out with some other possibilities. I said a long time ago that it's a possibility that Caleros could go to Hamilton. What happened? He went there. I said a possibility Burris could go to Ottawa. He went there. I'm saying there's a possibility Ottawa could be in first place. I'm saying it right now.
I mean, right now they probably could because of the situation and the difference of quarterbacks. I mean, they got Burris, man. Come on now. And you know I'm a Kevin Glenn fan. And, you know, not just because he's from the home same town, the same town he's from. I just like Kevin Glenn as a quarterback because he has the best completion ratio and he can go ahead and manage the clock. But when you get somebody like Henry Burris, there's going to be a step up. So I agree with you to a point, but I'm not going to say first place. I'm not going to put him up that high. I'm just saying.
The East is going to be a wild card position. It's going to be wild back east this year. It's going to be exciting.
Okay. Well,
it's going to be very exciting in the East.
As Serge, finish your thought.
No, I mean, you know, last year, you know, I mean, they brought Dan Hawkins in, and they didn't wait long. You know, five games, and he was out. So you see how You know, they didn't allow, like Winnipeg did and Edmonton did, to let this team, you know, fall to 3-15, 4-14. So there's something, there's a culture here that, you know, it's like they won't allow this team to ever, you know, sink to the bottom. And yeah, you guys said it, the East is going to be exciting. I think first place is up for grabs. Anybody, like, you know, Ottawa, it is a possibility. I agree. It is. They have as much a chance as any other team with the way they're starting, bringing all these players. So it'll be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to this season.
Absolutely. They're not going to be the typical expansion team that everybody beats on. And we've talked about that, guys. I've been a part of that conversation since before they drafted a single player, since they brought in the ownership, and since the ownership brought in the management team. Come on, guys. This is not a surprise that Ottawa is doing what they're doing. They have ownership has a vested interest in the community. They're not an outside element that comes in and makes all these promises. When these guys make promises in Ottawa, they're making promises based on being in the community, having been in the community, and having accomplished what they're here to do with Ottawa. You know, with the Red Blacks, they've done it with Ottawa in other ways. So, you know, don't be surprised, and I wasn't surprised that they brought in a coach of Campbell's stature. They, you know, they got a great GM. I think they've got a GM that could have been the GM of Montreal if Pop was willing to step up, Serge. You know,
they should have been. You know, just like Milanovic could have been the head coach of Montreal,
yeah,
had Trespin at the
yeah
end of the year. A lot of could have beens, but, and yeah, that's Montreal, and they're
but
taking all our
about,
best elements away.
Yeah, but I'm also saying that Ottawa brought in some talent at management level, which is the question that has to be raised with other teams. We've tipped the hat to Austin. The Argos came in, brought Barker, and they won a Grey Cup. You know, Montreal was winning Grey Cups before that all happened. And that's all I'm saying, is that every team in the CFL East has great management. The question's going to be the bounce of the ball, that's all. And I'm telling you, some of the stuff that's going to happen between now and the end of February, middle of March, some of the stuff that's going to happen between now and the middle of March is going to have a lot of impact on how the season goes as well, because none of these teams are done. In fact, none of the teams in the West are done either. The competition in the league has been kicked up a notch by the fact that Ottawa came in with such a serious attitude about winning.
Yeah, they did. I got a question for Serge.
Yep.
Hey, Serge.
Oh, yep.
Is Montreal satisfied with Troy Smith at the quarterback position?
You mean, are the fans satisfied, or the team, or?
Yeah, your own personal perspective. Do
both.
You think Montreal?
You know what?
Satisfied?
It's fantastic. I mean, we got a Heisman Trophy winner. Man, this is like a, you know, this is like a, no. It's we are really looking forward to watching this guy play this year, because, you know, he's played four games last year without a real training camp or anything, and every game he played in, you know, we were in it right to the end. So this guy is, I mean, the way he throws the ball, and, you know, he can run. I mean, the key is Montreal's got to find an offensive coach, which I guess, I don't know if they found him yet or they're going to announce it soon. But he's got to find somebody that can draw plays for this guy, because the guys we had last year, Barry, I don't think they were really the right guys. But if you can find the right guy that draws the right plays for this guy, well, it's going to be exciting. And I am just frothing at the mouth waiting to watch this guy play. So. And with Daron Carter, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Oh, yeah. All right. I see. You know what? He's probably been asked, like, what about Cavalier being, like, the offensive coach? He's probably been asked. He's probably saying, I want to, you know, see my family for a little bit and stuff like that. But going back to about the whole Ottawa going up to first place, you see it as, like, Hamilton, when they was the contender saying, you know, who are we going to get for a coach? Who are we going to get for a quarterback? Who are we going to get for a quarterback? We were building a team around Burris. We were quietly building a team around Burris. Burris came. Burris had his two best seasons in Hamilton in his career. And now he's off to Ottawa. Also, there's Kevin Glenn. Kevin Glenn is pissed off he's not going to be number one now. He like that. Kevin Glenn wants to be traded. Where's Kevin Glenn going to go? He might go back to Winnipeg. We all don't even know when he's going to go. What's going to happen. We have no idea. There's Travis Lule out in BC. Kudos to that, because he was – proven himself to be a number one quarterback, and he even won a Grey Cup with that. Going over to Calgary, I'm sorry, but why did they not block up Glenn? I have no idea. They should have got rid of Tate. I'm sorry for Calgary fans, but he gets hurt way too much. And
everybody felt that. I think everybody felt that way.
Yeah,
I know.
And
I
then
did.
Also going to Saskatchewan, you know what? I'm going to say, Durant, you did a great job. Honestly, you've had a great career. Keep it up with that. Edmonton, well, I don't have to talk about Edmonton. I'm sorry. You need a lot of work. And, you know, Ottawa, well, Ottawa's been awesome. They got two awesome quarterbacks. They've got to decide who's going to be that number one, who you got to let go. But unfortunately, they've decided, I want Burris. Burris is going to be number one. That means you can dangle Glenn around. No, you need to figure something out. And then you got Toronto, Ricky Ray, guy who gets hurt, also wins Grey Cups. I'm scared to be a Hamilton fan because there's still Ricky Ray out there who can throw a ball with great percentage. If I could run and if I could catch, Ricky Ray could throw it to me and it could be in my hand over my head. I don't have to look behind me. Hamilton took a huge, and this is on behalf of the Hamilton Tiger fan, took a huge gamble having Cole Anderson as a quarterback. I'm scared that we're going to go from first to the East down to last of the East. I'm scared for that because, Clarice, yeah, you showed it when Ricky Ray was injured, but that was the pressure to show you on there. Now you have no pressure to show for number one quarterback. You are the number one quarterback. I'm scared that it's going to be like what we did with Casey Critters.
Do you think, honest to goodness, Danny, I get what you're saying there, and I'm not going to argue for a second about what you're saying. But even maybe you're too close to Hamilton to see what Austin might be doing as well. While they gave that guy a lot of money, while they gave Kolaros a lot of money, they still have another quarterback that I think may end up being the number one quarterback, if not for the season, for a portion of the season. I'll let Mike jump in on that one.
Oh, yeah. My man, Jeremiah Mazzoli. You got to remember, is it Danny?
Yeah, Danny, yep.
Daniel, okay, you got to remember, man, Austin traded for this guy because he was in Edmonton. He traded for him to come to Hamilton because he coached him in college. I mean, he's the number one guy. If you want to flourish in Kent Austin's offense, you're going to bring an offensive-minded quarterback or somebody that already knows your plays and how you play and how you want your offensive ran. See, Calero's going to have to come in, and he's going to learn that on the fly. Mazzoli already has that down pat. So, you know, even though you paid this guy a lot of money to come, Jeremiah Mazzoli knows the offense. He had a whole year in the CFL to learn it, and plus when he was at Ole Miss, he learned the offense. Because what they're running at Ole Miss is the same thing they're running in the CFL.
And for those of us that were following, and I made it to a few press conferences, especially when Hamilton came in here to Toronto. I was here when Burris came into Toronto for the first game, and it looked like a love-in between Austin and Burris. But I don't think there was any truth in that love-in. And I'm not sure Burris didn't realize how little Austin thought of him. And I'm not going to say anything other than that because I really believe that was the case. And Kolaros can come in there, and he could be in the exact same position Burris was in, thinking that, you know, Austin's committed to him. Austin's not committed to anybody. He's only got one thing in mind, and that's win a Grey Cup. And he'll do whatever it takes. And if we've learned anything about the CFL last year is that one quarterback is not enough to make it through the season. We learned that the majority of the teams required, as much as, you know, as a Toronto fan, I got to fear the fact that Ray gets hurt. There were a lot of second pick quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, and Kolaros was one of the main ones that made a name for themselves and proved that there are more than just starting quarterbacks in the CFL. And I think Austin's very intelligent, and I really do believe that Mazzoli and Kolaros are 1A and 1B.
Yep.
So don't worry about that. Your team's fine, Danny.
Okay.
Hamilton doesn't have anything to worry about. I mean, Austin is such a brilliant quarterback coach, if I can say that. You really don't have any problems that way. It's like the respect I have for Milanovic. Milanovic is a great quarterback coach. You know, and now we go to Ottawa, and they've got two great veteran quarterbacks. You guys, we all agree, and you're all right, you know, that the East is going to be dynamite. And I don't think the West is going to lose any step on what they've had before. I happen to think that BC is going to make improvements because they're the host. I think Calgary has something to prove, hopefully for their sake and Calgary fans' sake, that Hufnagel will make the odd couple of moves that he's going to need to make to maintain the position that they've had over the past few years, and that's being contention for a Grey Cup, or at least making it to the Grey Cup or making it to the West Final. You know, Saskatchewan, there's no point even discussing Saskatchewan. I mean, they've lost some players, but we know what they're going to do. They'll plug those holes, and then we're going to be in trouble again because Taman's going to make a couple more brilliant moves, and Kelly's going to brag about it. We're going to have to listen to it. So that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun in East and West. And I think I agree you guys, the mentioning that the East is going to roar this year. I think finally the East is going to come up to almost par with the West. I don't think they will be yet, you know, because I happen to think like Manasseh, who's not here tonight, that Winnipeg has made a couple of moves too that make them an interesting team. There really aren't going to be any pushovers this year. I don't think so anyway.
Hamilton's
at this point.
Kick some ass.
I think the East is going to be really exciting inside of the East.
But you really think that they're still going to be, you still think they're going to be second rate compared to the West? Christopher?
Nope.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. That's the one
thing
you allow here.
I still am picking Hamilton to win the Grey Cup this year. Okay.
Amen.
That's a smart pick, actually.
I say amen to that, yeah, too.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm still picking Hamilton to beat BC in BC for the Grey Cup. So.
Well, he's not in here.
I agreed with that logic.
Guys, say hello
to
Rob Emery's in the room now too, right, Rob?
Hey guys, how
are
you?
I thought I heard.
How are you, Rob?
You know what?
Okay.
Not too much is up.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
I want to talk about. You know why he called? Rob didn't call
no
about football. He wants
out of my
to.
Mouth.
Okay. No. That's fine. But
profanity.
Rob's calling not because of the football. He's got this thing about the mascot that Ottawa just brought in, the American Dad version.
Isn't it awesome?
Of a football. He looks like American Dad,
yeah.
He looks like.
Oh,
no.
You know what?
Seriously,
it's so funny because I was working at
Go
the
ahead,
Canadian
Robbie.
Tire Center. I was working at the Canadian Tire Center, and I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden I look up and I see this guy. He's like a friggin', he's got this big hacksaw thing, and he's got this big friggin' thing on, and he's walking like he's a friggin' hacker guy. He's like
an axe.
I'm like,
he's walking around with an axe.
I'm like, what the heck is this?
That's your
I'm
mascot.
Like, I'm like, please don't even. You know what I'm doing? There's a game in Hamilton on July 26th. I'm going to that game, I think, in Hamilton, the Red Blacks against the Ticats. And I'm going to wear all my Ticat stuff.
Okay.
Come see us, Bob. Come see over my place. You're welcome, buddy. I'll give you a room, Rob. You're welcome to come over here.
There you go. Way to go, Danny. Now, seriously.
On this mascot, I think this is an outstanding mascot. This is one of the best in the league.
I agree, too.
And they're having a name that mascot contest, and this guy's name should be Buzz.
That's
probably. Okay. Totally outstanding. And if you look at, I posted up the flick, the YouTube thing on Monty Python's Lumberjack, their Lumberjack.
Oh, no.
It looks
just
like him.
Okay.
Are you kidding
me? Just like him.
Are you kidding me?
No, seriously, you got to go look at this thing. It's on Phyllis has put up the post. I put the link in there. It looks just like the mascot.
Fantastic. Rob, are they coming to take you away, Rob?
Who is?
No, nothing.
The
then it's somebody else. I just heard sirens.
The
I just heard sirens.
The fire.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm not sure. I don't think the axe is going to last long because, you know, just, you know, can I take a picture with your son? Can I take a picture with your daughter with this axe dangling over their head? It's going to make for some interesting pictures. Come on. The axe has got to go.
Great.
I think the axe has to go. Axe has to go.
It won't. It's absolutely love it.
And first of all, the axe isn't what the logo has. He should be carrying either a skill saw or a worm saw is what they actually call it. That blade is different. You know, the axe is not what the logo is. The logo is a saw blade.
There's a bit of confusion there, but it's a great mascot.
The mascot? Okay, let's do a vote. I like the mascot. I don't like the axe. Kelly, you're good?
No, like, I just want to say, like, what are you going to have, though? A big buzz saw? Like, come on. You know, you got to have
still,
a human-like character or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
But that'd be, you know, I don't know. Okay, Serge, do you like the mascot? Did you see the mascot? I mean, it's a typical
No, I don't know. I miss Ruffy. I miss the old Ryan, the mascot.
Yeah, there we go.
Ruffy was good, but this guy, I don't know, man. He's
awesome.
Like Eric.
the Popeye arms.
Yeah. And the plaid shirt. I like the plaid shirt. I like the lumberjack look. That works for me.
I like the red-green look.
If he gets like a little mini me, like a little mini lumberjack, all the kids are going to be scared of that.
Never.
Never. This little mini jack guy going.
No way.
You know, all the kids are going to be like, oh,
no,
Daddy,
no
got
way.
A big smile on his face.
You know what? They're going to get a blow up doll of this guy, and he's going to be in every bedroom in Ottawa. This is phenomenal.
Right.
Ottawa
and
Red
the kids
going to
wake up. My point
exactly.
My point exactly. A kid's going to wake up
marketing.
In the middle of the night, and there's going to be this axe
Never.
Over their
Never.
Head.
Never. This is going to be awesome.
My first movie is going to come out, Sly Marion Axe Murder. How was that?
No kidding.
It's
I mean, why not put, you know what?
Marketing move.
Why don't we put a hockey mask on him, and then we can call him Jason? No, you can't, because that's the Argo. Whatever. I'll be honest with you. That's the only thing I don't like, and I'm looking at it from a parental position where I'm not 100% sure that my kids and that axe, you know, it's not something I'm looking
you
to promote.
You got girls.
Yeah, well,
you
that's...
You got girls.
What are you trying to say
my
there, buddy?
My boy would have loved this. My boy would have loved
you know,
this from day one. He would have had this thing up to the
okay,
wall.
Okay, well, there
no
you
lie.
Go. Okay, okay
this,
mine
this
should
this
be a
awesome.
Barbie. Okay.
Thanks, listen.
So,
yeah, Barbie.
You know, You know the UNLV Run and Rebel in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Right. Well, they have a guy with dual six shooters.
Yes.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, this isn't offensive at all. I mean,
welcome to
America. As far as that goes. And he's got a big smile on his face. He's not going to scare children. Come on, guys.
Okay.
You know,
he's not
going
to scare
kids,
man. How many times have
right
you
now,
seen a guy with a big smile on his
right
face with
now.
An axe in his hand? How many times have you seen the guy with a big smile on his face carrying an axe? That would concern me.
I want to see what
that would
call
like
Brian
Mulrooney.
You live nowhere near Minnesota.
You're right. You're totally right. You're right.
Hey,
I don't live
okay,
near
guys,
Minnesota.
Check this out, guys.
This mascot kid had me when I was at work. So.
Okay,
doesn't he look like Brian Mulrooney?
Totally.
Brian Mulrooney.
I want to say two things.
American
All
man.
Right, first thing I want to say, Frank, check your Facebook. I just put the lumberjack song on your Facebook.
Yeah, I put it up.
And also I want to say one other thing, too, is if you look at the Argo mascot and the lumberjack for the like that, I think it's they're brothers somehow like that.
Yeah,
it looks
typical.
Like they won't even beat up each other, who knows? So it looks like the tag cats are about to, like, pounce on them and beat the living crap out of them, like TC used to do back in the 80s.
Well, hey, guys, listen, like, once a year, the Argos invite all the mascots from the neighborhood, including the cat. What's the cat called in Hamilton?
Stripes.
Stripes, thank you. Yeah, even Stripes
is
there, the Leaf mascot, all of them. And they actually play a football game against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm dying to see what happens.
The Argo team's going to win.
They're going to win.
He's got his brother.
You're right. He does look like him. Okay.
Oh, I'm going to win with my brother.
Well, okay, enough about the mascot. Let's get back to football. Let's get back to fall. Check that video out after the show's over. We've got about 50 minutes left.
I just hope he takes that axe and cuts off the gopher's tail.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Did I say
the
lion's
tail?
The
lion's
tail.
I thought it was a prairie dog.
You know, mascots, we're not going to talk about mascots, but now I started thinking of, what's his name, Yuppie? Serge? What was his name there, the Montreal guy?
Yeah.
Yuppie. Remember the good old days? Good old days, mascots used to be animals. Now they're actually human beings with some sort of theme. One an axe, the other one an oar. I don't know. You know, it's just the way we're going, I guess. Well, whatever. But let's get away from that, and let's talk about something close to my heart. I just, an Argo move today. The Argos have released Marcus Ball. I guess this means they're close to signing McCune, and if they don't sign McCune, they're going to be a little shallow, even though they brought in the guy we talked about earlier, who's really happy to be an Argo, Shea Emery.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Ball is going to Edmonton, or do you think he's actually got a sniff from the NFL?
Who want to go first on this one?
I think he's got a sniff on it.
He's got it. Danny's got it.
Go ahead, Danny.
I think he's got a sniff on it because, getting that opportunity, you know. Look at everybody around the league just in the offseason already. We haven't been that far off in the offseason. Look how many people have gone down to the NFL already. He's like, maybe
no,
I've got a shot now. Like that. Corey Sheets, I'm sorry to say this, but you know what? That's a shocker. First time trying out for the NFL. Bam, guy like that. I know you were the, you know, agree with the
Corey Sheets, this was his first time.
Corey Sheets played in the NFL for 5 years.
Okay,
he's an NFLer.
The Achilles,
and had to come up here to rehab.
Well, if he come to rehab, thanks a lot. Oh, really? Thanks. If he's a tight end, I would know more stats. Sorry about that, but you know.
Hey, are you telling me, Christopher? Are you telling me that Sheets is going to come out with a comment on either Facebook or Twitter saying that I went to Canada because I went for rehab, but it wasn't for drug or alcohol reasons. It was for personal issues.
Yes.
That's what Rodman said. I mean, why not? You know, I went to rehab not to fix a drinking problem that I obviously had. I have some personal issues. Yeah, you had drinking problems. No, I didn't know that Sheets had any problems. Sheets is a great player.
He blew his Achilles tendon out. He got released down there. He had to work on his leg. He had to work on his speed. He came up to the CFL because the CFL would give him the opportunity. He lit it up. He
oh, physical rehab. Rehabilitation as in physically, not as in a substance abuse problem.
No, not at all. He was
Thank you. Okay, I feel better.
Yeah, look, he blew his dad.
Hey, look, back to Marcus Ball, man. Back to Marcus Ball. Frank, do you know if he asked for his release or did they just release him?
It doesn't say.
You know he asked.
The team announced it. The team announced it. He probably asked it. There's some suggestions. Some have suggested that he would be following Chris Jones to Edmonton. I believe that really is what's going to happen in my mind for no reason other than I can see that happening. Marcus Ball, though, is a quality, a quality linebacker. He's got fair enough size to play in the CFL. And if nothing else, he's a prototype that Seattle made successful, you know, in their run to the Super Bowl. So people might be looking at him a little differently now because he's, you know, because of his size. It's not a handicap. It's and his quickness. He could make the NFL now, I believe. I believe he could.
Yep.
But I'm leaning more on he's probably going to rejoin Jones.
But don't be surprised if he don't end up in Hamilton too.
Well, he could end up. Well, there you go. That's all Hamilton needs is a fourth linebacker.
Yep. Hey Frank, Chris, can you call him? His internet has broke up the connection.
Okay, all right, I can call him. All right, so that's the Marcus Ball thing. Anybody else want to say something about does that mean that the Argos signed McCune? It puts more pressure on them to sign McCune now?
Mm-hmm.
As an Argo fan, I think that puts more pressure on them to do that. And I will call Christopher Jones.
But you know what, right. It might put a little pressure on them, but you got to remember, the draft is coming up. They might find somebody to replace them in that draft. So we don't know if they're going
to
sign a tune, but we know.
To start? I don't think you're going to draft somebody that's going to start first year. I don't think so. That's
right,
not
it all depends on that guy that they're looking for. Depends on that guy that they're looking for.
Okay.
Guys.
Go ahead.
I'll talk to you all later. All later, guys.
Later,
have a good one, Rob. Take care, guys.
I'm trying to call Christopher, and his phone isn't picking up. I'll try it again. Third time.
Hey, is Trap still with us? You still with us, Trap?
Yep. Oh, no, he left.
Okay.
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone?
So who's also with him then?
Well, you want to do a roll call?
Let's do a roll call.
Okay, yep. Kelly's here. Danny's here.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. And guess what? Christopher's here too, right, Christopher?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and Serge is still here.
Wait. Yep.
And who else is in here? Danny's in here?
Kelly? Yeah, I'm still here.
Yep.
E6. Okay. There's six of you in here with me. They're the lucky number seven, guys. Okay, let's move forward.
No, I'm still here. Trap's still here.
Let's move forward on a subject that...
Oh,
Trap,
you still here too? Okay, cool.
Trap's
yeah.
here.
Listening now.
Holy
yeah,
crap.
Yeah, just listening
now. Oh, okay, Trap. I see your, you know what? I see your phone number, but I had your name typed in because you're important, and I'm going to type it in again. Okay,
nice, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
appreciate
there
it.
We go.
Got
okay,
the VIP, Trap.
Now, well, he is the VIP, you know. I mean, he's going to give us all our inside information later. Here's something that might interest Trap and other football players. This one interests me, and it should interest Christopher Jones. You know, the Internet has been a factor in many ways when it comes to football players, hockey players, sports in general. Right now, for the first time, at least in my experience, I have never seen a team, especially a GM, freely discuss free agency on Twitter. There's a guy in BC. Wally
what a
Bowles.
Moron.
What, you know, this, boy, could I finish making the statement before you jump in? But you know what? I guess, and Wally Bono has decided that he's going to discuss on Twitter, you know, free agency. So, okay, so Christopher Jones, first comment, what a moron. Okay, back it up, please.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Yes, he's being hailed as an awesome social media god for doing this. I mean, Wally can't put two thumbs on a keyboard without getting lost. But he put out who and what he was going after, and he did not get one of them. He was 0-for-5 on his picks. Mm-hmm. He even lost the guys that on his own team that he was going after. That just makes you look like a schmo. And Wally is anything but a schmo, but he sure was in this free agency. He just didn't play the game right. You don't tell people
yep.
you're going after Shea Emery, Craig Butler, Nick Moore, and I don't remember who else was on that
unless,
list. He
unless,
lost every single one of them.
Yeah, but maybe he wasn't going for them. This
I
was reverse psychology
screen.
At its best. Me too. I mean, I think he made it, Chris, Christopher, you mentioned to us a few times. And how many times did you mention to us that as far as the free agent market's concerned, the least players available in free agency were Lions? So, you know,
of course,
he made a lot of his moves even before free agency by signing guys, and he didn't let them become free agents.
Correct. And he has never been a person to go out in free agency and grab people. He just never has. I mean, I think Anton McKenzie
well,
was
just,
the first guy that he ever grabbed.
You just confirmed our assumption. You just confirmed
I understand that, but you don't turn around and say that you're going after Craig Butler, which would be such a
it's all about appearance, and it's not whether it's reverse psychology on Jim Pop, Kent Austin, and everybody else. It's what his fans are out there. He's saying that, I'm out here, I'm going after these guys, we're going to build ourselves the best team possible, and then he fails at every step of the way. It has nothing to do with reverse psychology on Kent Austin, whether he's going
to
get Craig Butler or
Newmark. I was just having fun
okay?
with that.
I just don't think he really wanted those guys. Then don't put it out to your fan base.
Well, he's
don't
trying
disappoint
to look cool,
your family, because that's what it's all
about. Trying to look cool. Give the old guy a chance.
He didn't
chance.
Look very cool. Trust me. He's not very cool.
Hey, listen, as long as he posts his picture with his Twitter feed, people will understand why he makes such, to use your word, moronic moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
that's why he's boiling, man. He can say what he wants to say.
He can do what he wants. I mean, yeah, he's fine. I just thought it was funny, and I don't think this is something that if there's a lesson learned here, you think maybe GMs aren't going to talk like that.
It won't happen again.
The GMs are trying to get in contracts where guys don't have a Twitter handle. They're trying to get rid of that stuff. They're trying to stomp on that and get rid of.
Look at Orlando Bruce.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no
time.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Those
can
arms
now? Bonehead. Yeah, there's can arms about Orlando Bruce? Well, we don't have to discuss what he said, but we can say that he said something he shouldn't have said, not because it's right or wrong, but because it's a subject that you're setting a fire that you really don't need to set.
You're not going to win.
No, it's just Arlan Bruce being Arlan Bruce, not opening his mouth at the wrong time. He doesn't know how to shut up, and that's why he's lost through so many teams. He gets whined.
Correct.
He whines. He bitches. He complains. And if he doesn't get what he wants, he has to whine. And so basically, Arlan Bruce, what he has to do is put his thumb in his mouth and shut up and suck it.
Yeah. He's on
big
a
time.
Serge, he's on a 2-year contract, right? I don't think he got a 3. I think he got a 2, right?
Bruce?
Yeah.
Arlan? I'm not even sure. Yeah.
I think he got a 2.
Oh,
I think he has a 2-year.
He hasn't been released. He's going to cry.
He made a full formal apology, yeah. So I think that's probably, water in the
And that's
bridge.
Enough. You know what? When it comes to, I'm disappointed if I can bring the Olympics in here, because I'm very disappointed that the people at the Olympics missed a great opportunity. We hear all this talk about, the subject of, homosexuality and how it's the norm, and I'm not going to argue that point, but I'm disappointed because this was a great opportunity to have figure skating have more of their athletes be on the program. I mean, this would have been a great opportunity for them to have the doubles have 2 guys or 2 girls and really throw it in the Russians' faces. And
you couldn't do that in Russia. You couldn't have done that. That's suicide.
I mean, that would have been.
I mean, it was
that
bad enough that the Germans were playing. The Germans went in with those rainbow pants. I mean, that was as close as you could get for support in this. And my hat's off to the Germans for doing that. But there's no way in hell that you could go into Russia and flaunt this in their face. They'd be lining people against the wall.
Are you kidding me? We could have grabbed the Austin Powers plane. We could have gone and grabbed the jumbo jet and filled the rainbows on that.
Well, all I'm saying is when it comes to that in that subject where people's sexuality becomes public knowledge, and when it's something that isn't the norm defined by the majority, if you will, it gets crazy. I'm proud of the guy for saying it and challenging the people who are drafting him. I'm proud of the fact that he has enough confidence in himself. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't like this business of comparing him to other people. All he is Mr. Sam up for draft in the NFL, and he's the first guy that's admitted he is the way he is publicly before getting drafted, which I think is brave. And it's a way, and I think it's a great way for him to challenge, the people that do the drafting, to force them to not be biased because of his preferences, So But I am disappointed that they could have done that. They could have sent 2 guys or 2 girls out there skating at the Olympics and really thrown it in his face. I think that was a missed opportunity. But I am being serious, by the way. And I think it would have been great. I would have been cheering in the background.
It would never have happened. It would never have happened in Russia. It could have happened in Vancouver. It would have been accepted right off the bat in Vancouver.
Almost anywhere else in the world. And pretty soon they're going to have to accept that.
You know what the funny? I will go. I do have a lot of jerseys. I do have a lot of jerseys, most of CFL and NHL. But I'm not going to go there. But you know what? As soon as he signed, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to buy his jersey. I'm going to say I'm proud of this guy and I'm going to wear it proud.
Yep. No, he deserves the credit.
I'm with you, Danny.
Yeah, good guy.
It's a great move on his part. I think it's going to affect him. It's going to hurt him in the draft. There is just too many ignorant people in high places in the NFL for it not to have.
Well, let's hope not.
And some team out there that should not be getting his abilities because they're further down in the draft than what
and open-minded.
Where he should be gone is going to get him, and they're going to use it. They're going to market the hell out of it. This is going to be a boon for some team that is not, I'm not going to say not worthy, but wouldn't
and
have normally
not a
have
bad,
bought this
And
man.
He's not a bad player. He's, and you know, that's
he's
the part
a great
that bothers
player.
Me. That's the part that bothers me more than anything is you can hear the people who don't like him because of what he is by how they define him as a player. You know, you can hear, you know, it's almost like you'd hear, you know, yeah, well, he's a good player, but, you know, you can hear the but they're not saying but right now. They're not saying that. They're just talking him down. Well, go ahead, because like you say, Christopher, I'm 100% with you. Somebody's going to get a gem more than they would have gotten otherwise. And
yeah.
And good for him. And you know, I get the fact that it's hard to understand for people to be in this situation. I just admire the fact that an opportunity is there for somebody to be honest about themselves and not be ashamed of how they feel and how they, you know, how they want to live. And the players that are in the room are going to help him to understand what he is, you know, what's fair to them as well. That's the thing. That's why I admire this, because he's going to get a chance to represent, you know, the way he thinks in a situation where maybe there's also rights on the other side. You know, it's something that they can talk about openly now in the dressing room, and there's going to be some stuff that's going to be hard to swallow, you know, hard to take. But you know what? At the end of the day, it'll be growth. And that's the important thing, is human beings to grow. Same reason why we do this show. We do the show because I enjoy the challenge of having guys and gals. I want women here, too, as well, to talk about football. You know, CFL fans are very passionate. We all have our deepest beliefs, right? And like, you know, when you put down Montreal on this show, Serge is here to say his part. And the rest of us are here to hear and or make a contribution. It really doesn't matter what you love, and this show's the same thing. I want everybody that likes a CFL team or adores a CFL team to feel free here to know that they're comfortable enjoying their team. Sometimes I have to, you know, push Chris and Bruce apart, but that's okay. That, you know, but you know,
or
I can
John or Manasseh or Kelly,
John,
or...
yeah, right. And you know what, guys. You know, I really think, and I'm a firm believer that you know, different strokes for different folks, and it's all good. You know, as long as I'm not imposing my will on anyone, other than trying to be a fair-minded host, I think we're all good. And you guys have all been great, and I always enjoy having you guys in here. And I want to give a special welcome to Serge Debeloussien and Danny Salonen for the first time being on the program. And to remind the folks who are listening, you're listening to Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. This is our usual Monday and Friday, 9 to 11, Canadian Football League talk. And sometimes we get a little political. And I had my little rant, and I got it in. And I just feel it's important that people's, you know, what people believe in for themselves is important to me, and they should be allowed to believe that. So, except that, you know, the Argos are the best football team in the CFL. Other than that, you know,
I have a question on Michael Sams here.
Go ahead.
Frank, I have a question for Michael Sams.
Okay.
What, not for him personally, but for the group here, what is the difference between – and I don't want to sound bad. Everybody's saying that there's going to be a problem in the locker room because he shouldn't be allowed in the locker room or this, that.
Oh, God.
What's the difference between him being, hey, just let me finish, him being there or having female reporters in the locker room?
I know exactly where you're going. There's less difference. In my opinion, he is a player, and like I was saying, there's going to be an understanding carved out between the players that are heterosexual and the players that are homosexual. Just like an understanding has to be carved out between the reporters and the players. It's just a lot easier to carve out that understanding at the same level, being the players. When it comes to reporters, there's a bit of a cat and mouse game going on there. So, you know, that's a variable that doesn't exist. So that's my opinion. It's harder
right.
to have female
but
reporters
there,
in the dressing
room. There has been homosexual players in the NFL for many, many years, and everybody on the team, coaches and players, all know it. It's not a mystery.
Oh, yeah.
It's not hidden. But, it's just not public. This is now the first
go.
Time that it's become public. So the locker room issue is a non-issue. It's been dealt with time and time and time again. It's not something
go.
New. It's not something that has to be changed. The change here has to be the public perception and the perception of how the management wants to be viewed by the public. And that's where this is going to come down to, and this is where it's all about. It has nothing to do with the players. The players, any team is going to open
Agreed.
Receive this man with open arms because he brings to the team an attitude.
Or,
he is a ripping defensive player.
One addendum, or they'll know who the players are who are going to be difficult about it. In other words, they pretty much know each other in that dressing room. You know, these are people who probably spend more time together, at least during the season, than they do with their wives. So they
yep.
know each other fairly
you know,
well.
Well you
yeah,
know
there's
what?
No way
I,
that
I
a gay guy has been hiding.
I want to ask the question to Trap because he's a pro player and he's been in locker rooms. Trap, on your opinion, do you think a lot of guys talk negative about them because it's the locker room and they walk around, got to take the showers? Or what do you think, man?
Trap's not here anymore.
I think Trap just hung up.
Oh, he didn't want part of this one. He's gone.
He ran fast. He ran.
Mike, I can't
nice
obviously
job,
guys. Answer.
That way.
You know, Mike, I can't obviously answer for Trap, but if I could just further on the Michael Sam stuff, I think for every bit of, you know, kind of logic Chris spoke with, I think for all those reasons, a team might actually want to go ahead. He's supposed to be, what, mid-third round? That's his projection kind of thing before he came out. Well, I think a team might go out and get a mid-second round just to show, just for the marketing boon that it really is, like, just to have that opportunity to draft the first. Like, it's an opportunity, guys, marketing-wise and stuff like that. It's not a hindrance at all, and I think we'd all
not,
agree
not
that.
General,
you know?
Generally speaking, we're talking, we all agree, and anybody who has
yeah.
common sense is their driving force.
Yeah.
As a whole within society, because unfortunately on the side of society falls political correctness, this falls on the correct side of political
exactly.
correctness. And that's
yeah.
And,
to the right team, it's going to be a boon. To the right team.
Yeah.
To the wrong team,
San
it could be a nightmare.
Francisco comes to mind. Late second round, San Francisco. That'd be a boon, man. Boon.
49ers aren't taking him. That's just a
Amen.
Fact, Jack.
Oh, God.
Hey,
you
I
know,
got
I saw that. You know,
I got
Kelly,
a message
that
from
cherry
Bruce
was
Johnny,
hanging
so.
Real low. That cherry was hanging really low, Kelly.
Yeah.
You guys are all wrong. You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen down there? You know what? Other, you know, Texas is going to take them or Tennessee's going to take them.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce Johnny said enough
you're
with the gay talk
take...
about the player. Let's get back to CFL football.
CFL football.
Actually, before we get back to CFL football, I'd like to touch base on something that Mike brought up to us. What do we all think of Jennifer Welter? Do we all know who she is?
No, I don't.
She's the first female running professional indoor football. She's a running back.
Yep.
And
really?
Yep. Female running back in the indoor league. And I've been watching her videos, and she's pretty good, but she keeps bouncing off the big guys.
There you go.
Well, okay, I'm going on Facebook right now.
It was an XFL.
Well, I tell you what, guys, if y'all didn't see the video, go to the CFL is the best football in the world page, and I posted it on there. This lady was taking a licking. I mean, she was getting hit, and they wasn't taking it easy on her. She was bouncing off them like a bowling pin, man. Oh, my God.
She was bouncing, and got back up, bounced up, took the ball, and did it again. She took three tries from the 3-yard line and just keep hitting the wall. But you got to give her tenacity. But I just, I don't know whether she's going to have a, the power or the weight behind her to do this.
Yeah, but that
I know we've had this
discussion you know,
on
it. Guys, that isn't the point. You know, when it comes to stuff like this, whether it's, you know, it, what it comes down to is being given an opportunity to fail. You know, everyone who thinks they can do something should be able to not hit a glass ceiling. You know, that's, you know, that's essentially what this is all about, right? That's all. You know, if she's not good enough to play, if she's not good enough to play, it'll be established. I mean, we've had goalies play hockey. We've had a female hockey player playing in the AHL
Florida,
she was playing with. And
no, well, we had one professional with down in Florida.
And okay, in Florida.
No, you know, the Sharks. No, the Sharks had one too. The Sharks had one.
Well,
no, Tampa Bay. Manon Raymond.
Yes, the goaltender from Quebec, and then she played for Canada's Canada's women's Olympic team, and also Wickenheiser. Was it Wickenheiser? She played in the AHL. Yeah, Haley Wickenheiser.
No.
She played her
Swedish second league.
Okay, there you go.
Swedish
professional though.
Yeah.
With the
men. Oh yeah.
At the end of the day, everyone should be given a chance. You know, like the Americans have the greatest saying, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to the Constitution of any country, and that is the pursuit of happiness. Anybody should be allowed to pursue happiness as long as it isn't, you know, at the expense of someone else's, you know, a reasonable, you know, happiness on their part. So we should all get a chance to, you know, to fail. You know, like, I do this radio show, why? Because I'm talented? No freaking way. I do it because I happen to think I want to do it, and if I suck at it, that's the way it's going to be. But I think I can handle it, so I'm going to give it a shot. You know, guys, and that's the same reason why all of you are in here. And no one has the right to say, you know, we're going to start singing Kumbaya soon.
No.
No,
we're not.
Oh, yeah, Chris is in the room.
You know
Chris
what?
Is in the room.
No.
No, I want to iterate a little bit on the woman that plays in the league. Well, you know, she played in the WFA, which is the Women's Football Association here in the States. And she was a very dominant running back. And she got signed with the Texas Revolution, but I think the Texas Revolution signed her because they didn't want to be biased to the female. And I also thought it was a publicity to try to bring more fans in the stands to market that team because, you know, they've been in, I'm not going to say been in trouble, but they went from being the Allen Wranglers to the Texas Revolution because they signed Terrell Owens a couple years ago, and that didn't work out, and they spent a lot of money bringing him in. So they got a new ownership, and I think they brought her in to try to put the fans in the stands and not to be biased against the female football player, but if they're going to use her at a running back position, I mean, let her come out the backfield at the goal line and you just throw the football in the end zone. Don't be having her back there, man, coming out the backfield, man, looking at them 345-pound linebackers tearing her up. Because, I mean, it's different from a woman getting hit in her knees than a man getting hit in her knees. So they can damage her for life. So I commend her for playing. But let her come out in the flats, man, catch a 3-yard pass and then get leveled that way or something. You know what I'm saying? Don't have her going again and running between the tackles. Nah, it ain't right.
I agree, Mike.
There have been stranger things in sports since we're talking about stranger things. Charles O'Finley signed a midget to play baseball, and he walked a lot. You know, so people have done.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm dead serious. And there'll be at least one person that's...
You couldn't pitch the strike zone with him.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it really happened back in the 70s, I think it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, having said that, you know, there's always a gimmick. You know, there's always a gimmick. And, yeah, she can be used as a gimmick. But if it gets her an opportunity in her own mind to really try to do it, because you know what? Every time she got hit, you know, I can picture how much it lifted her and how much it made her feel good. And she kept getting up because she had something to prove, not to anyone else. She was just trying to prove something to herself. And, again, that's what the pursuit of happiness is about. Now, speaking of pursuit of happiness, we've got also a couple of free agents left, and the teams are pursuing them. And the CFL has a fan poll. Caron Williams – Robert McCune, Torrey Davis, Will Ford, Chad Simpson, Cordero Law, Ted Laurent, or if you have another. I'm going to ask the same question of each of you, and you tell me why a team should go for a certain player and who will be the most popular and sought-off player out there. Kelly, I'll start with you, buddy.
Well, from a Rider perspective, it's Ted Laurent. I mean, we got to get this guy in here. He's a load. We lost Scholligan. He'd be real nice to have in the middle of that line. Now, from a CFL perspective, I mean, there's a list up on CFL.ca. You can scratch Cordero Law off that list, I guess, from what we heard earlier this week.
Yep.
There's still the two guys in Winnipeg, Chad Simpson and Will Ford. I mean, both quality running backs. Maybe Simpson's lost a step. Torrey Davis, McCune, obviously we speculated about him a little bit. Caron Williams, I don't know too many teams that want this guy. He must feel a bit left out right now. I just think from a Saskatchewan perspective, we got to get Big Teddy Laurent in here.
Let's move down the road to Hamilton, and we'll talk first, I guess, to Danny. Danny, who do you think, bud? Your thoughts on free agency.
I want to ask a question first before I talk about this. I want to ask, is Jeeva Simon still for grabs, or what's going on with Jeeva Simon?
He signed for another year.
Yeah, he had a two-year contract.
Under contract.
Okay, yep. I didn't know. Like, you know.
Yeah, he had 1 year with an option, and they picked up the option, if I remember correctly. Kelly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Well, that's who Saskatchewan offered instead of the eighth-round draft choice in that trade. I'm kidding. Because he's too strong. Go ahead, Danny. Who do you think your team or any team or what player you think your views on free agency and who's out there that could be snapped up?
You know what? I was going to do it this weekend, but I ended up getting busy. I was going to sit down and see to check out who's still on free agency and everything like that. You know, it's tough right now because, like, I'm not saying all the big teams, all the big guys are gone because they're not. You know, there's still a lot of talent out there. You know, BC's got next to nothing that they released, like we said. You know, which is awesome for Wally Bowen. You know, that's good that you did that to your team. Edmonton, they got lots of work to do. Like I said, they got tons of work to do.
I don't know if they bring in Marcus Ball, they're going to be like they've brought in some really decent talent, and they've got a good quarterback. Their offensive line's the only thing that hurt them more than anything last year.
Mm-hmm. Who?
So,
Edmonton.
Marcus Ball didn't get released to go out into the CFL. Marcus Ball got released so that he could go to the NFL.
Absolutely.
Why would Toronto release him right now? It wouldn't make sense.
Well, are you saying because he came to CFL for rehab?
No,
he came before and he played his butt off, and a couple of NFL teams won him. That's the only reason guys get released from the CFL.
Toronto wouldn't
have
released him right now.
Well, the reason I'm saying what I said about him going to Edmonton, I think it's a 50-50 shot in this case, and I happen to think that Chris Jones is you know. I think he can pry that guy off the Argos, and they'll pay him back a different way. Maybe if they're signing McCune, if tomorrow we find out that McCune was signed, wouldn't it be fair to assume that they signed McCune based on the fact that they felt he was better for the team than Ball?
Yep,
I agree. I totally agree with that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Ball probably was asking for a lot of money. And we
Ball
know
wasn't
that,
a free agent. Marcus Ball's under contract. He wasn't a free agent. So why would you release him now? The only way you would let him out of that contract, out of his option year, is if he was going to go south. You wouldn't let him out of his contract
to go to a CFL team.
Then
let's go on the assumption that he's going to the CFL. And we said before that McCune now is a hot property that, you know, the CFL's Toronto Argonauts might want to keep.
They should have signed him by now.
But again, I still stand behind the fact that if he's not with the team, now they have room for McCune and the contract that he might get, because he was their best linebacker last year.
Yeah, but maybe he might want, like, if he's going to be, like, you know, there's teams out there that really need somebody like that. Like, you know,
Montreal. Montreal.
He might go to Ottawa. He might go to Ottawa and say, oh, that team's going to be awesome. I'm going to go against that. I'm going to go on that team.
I mean,
you might want to go on that team.
You got a completely stupid situation in BC right now with Kieran Williams. He's not accepting phone calls from other teams in the CFL, but he won't pick up the phone and phone Wally Buono. Buono has said, I phoned him enough, I'm not phoning him anymore. So these two little children are playing stare at the phone and wait for the other one to blink.
Maybe you should have tweeted him.
I don't understand the logic behind this. What's that?
Maybe you should have tweeted him.
I'm tweeting both of them on a regular basis. I'm telling them to quit being with such children and get together on the phone. Kieran, pick up the phone and phone Wally. And I'm not doing that. I mean, they're childish right now. These are grown adults. These are football players and managers. They shouldn't be playing like this.
Well,
it's ridiculous. So if you're saying the same thing is happening with McCune, I don't know.
Well, me personally, I think Will Ford, running back from Winnipeg. Actually, if I was Toronto, I think I would sign him. And release Darius Norwood, let him go back to the NFL where he belongs, because he was actually one of the bright spots with Winnipeg last year when Winnipeg was down and down and out. So, I mean, Will Ford can either go to Toronto or wait for it, he might be in Ottawa.
Well, Ottawa doesn't have – who does Ottawa have at running back?
Siobhan Walker.
Yeah. Chevy,
and if you can't block off the edge, you're going to get your quarterback hurt.
And the reason he isn't
and
with Hamilton is
he could not block off the edge.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's the same story all the time now. You know, the running backs nowadays, they have to block. If they don't block, they don't get to be running backs.
Yeah.
And running backs don't. You know, it's to me that's the waggle to the running backs. If you're not going to, to me, that's the waggle like it is with the receivers. You know, you can be the greatest receiver in the world, but if you can't waggle, you ain't playing in the CFL. And if you can't block, you're not playing in the CFL if you're a running back. You got to block.
And you know what? The NFL's watching like that, too.
Are they?
The NFL will be watching. They will watch like that, and all of a sudden they'll pick it up and like, oh, my gosh, we should be doing something like that.
Oh, well, there you go. So it is fun, that's for sure.
Damaso Muniz just signed down south today.
Who did?
Edmonton linebacker. He's going down to Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow.
So he's out of the marketplace. So then the only other DL that we've got out there, he's a linebacker, Laguerre is still available.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Oh,
tell
man.
Me, guys, here's the thing that I've maintained from the very beginning.
And so is Alex Hall.
Is he gone too?
He's still up for grabs. He's not signed anywhere.
Yeah, thank you. He's up for grabs. Here's the thing that attracted my attention from the beginning of the year, and I had some people disagree with me, but I keep seeing it, and it keeps getting even more more important to me, and that is that the fact that CFL is being broadcast on such a wide range in the United States is becoming a real asset to coaches and GMs in the United States with NFL teams, because they're getting the kind of film that they don't have to ask for. It's coming to them. And I think the more popular the CFL gets in the U.S., the more players in the U.S. are going to begin to understand that, you know, you can actually get a career in the NFL by coming up here. And I think this year, along with the two biggest things in my mind, that the improvements in the CFL are backup quarterbacks, the understanding of how good the backup quarterbacks are in the CFL, and how good the players are in the CFL, and how sellable the product is that Americans like Mike Townsend and Manasseh Gebremedin tell us all the time. And those are the two things this year, I think, that have really jumped up exponentially. And we're seeing it with these players that are signing with NFL teams. I don't know how many signed last year. But I think we're way ahead of the curve from last year.
Oh, yeah, Frank. You hit it right in the head. A lot of these NFL teams are taking these CFL players seriously. You know, you got to remember, some of the guys that's playing the CFL were one or two cuts away from making the NFL roster anyway, because this part of their skills wasn't developed right, or this part of their skills wasn't developed. These guys go to the CFL, learn how to play the position, learn how to play them well, and they come back down south, and sometimes they might be second string.
Automated notification.
That's stars in the NFL.
To view video messages, install video player at
Come on, Frank, shut her up. This is a football talk.
You wanted women on, right?
Messages.
Who's doing this?
Com.
That ain't
coming from you, is it?
Shut up.
Don't tell me.
Received. To view video messages, install video player at VIE.
How do I stop?
Turn off the mic, Frank.
Frank, what did you do?
.com.
I don't know what I did.
Automated notification.
Okay.
Keep it to your audio mic. Help file from Blog Talk Radio.
Right. As I was saying, man, you know, a lot of these guys go up north, develop the tools, and develop their skills, and come back down south. You know, so believe me, as a lot of people don't think that the fans in the United States or the NFL clubs don't take the CFL seriously, that's bull crap, because they're grabbing more CFL players by the year, and CFL is big down here in the States, depending on where you live at.
Okay.
Depending on where you live at.
If you're going to talk about CFL in the States, I was talking with Frank earlier this week. Frank, you know what we're talking about, but helmet. this week, a friend of mine, he knows I collect CFL stuff, and I'm trying to get the stuff for the CFL down in the States. He gave to me, I bought off him, a Las Vegas Posse helmet, full-size helmet. I got one, and I can't wait because I hope I get to see Anthony Cavalier, and I want him to autograph that thing. I'm so tickled pink about that. I'm trying to get the rest of the down south teams. I want to get them all. My goal is to get at least one helmet and a jersey. That's what I want to get, and a flag. That's all I'm asking for. Not too much, I hope.
I saw a couple of them on eBay the other day, Danny.
Yeah, but those are the mini ones. Those are the mini ones. I want the bigger ones.
No, there was a full-size Shreveport Pirates helmet, and there was a full-size Memphis Bulldog.
Barracudas.
Buddy, you're going to have to add me to your Facebook, and we're going to have to talk about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I see this stuff all the time. I'd be happy to send you on. Just find me on Facebook. You know where our CFL
Danny,
group?
CFL is. Type in CFL, space, capitalized C, and you're off to the races. And you'll get everybody who's in this room, I think, is in there as well.
Yeah.
That's
I'm on
place.
That.
All
on together. I'm on that. Page. I'm on that page.
Well, there you go.
I just searched you for you. I couldn't find you. Because I found Serge. You're a vet,
request.
Right, Serge?
Yep. I got your request.
It's
I just want to make sure I got the right Serge, because that would have been funny.
I just put a post up on there and just put down, I am here.
There you go. Well, isn't that nice? We even talked about collectibles. Collectibles. Isn't that nice? Well, you know, I find it very difficult sometimes, the cost of some of this stuff. Being a father of four, it can get pretty expensive. A jersey's over $200. You know, I understand there's places where you can get NFL jerseys that are made in China that are pretty much the same except for a minor difference, and you can save at least two-thirds buying to those places. So it can be, getting stuff can be expensive. And, of course, Mike Townsend, If you got a smaller helmet, it's not a problem for him because his daughter's head's not that big yet.
Not yet, but it's getting there.
But it's getting there.
Well, this Las Vegas Posse helmet that I got right here, I got it, and it's a 7.5. It could fit one of my kids. It could fit my 3-year-old, but I still like it anyways. When I get Cavalier to sign that, that thing's going right in the glass case right away, and I'm going to put a small little plot. And Mike Rady gets mad at me. Who's that? I'm like, that is the best quarterback in the CFL and NFL history.
Well, that's nice that you say that. We had a long discussion about him being the best quarterback in CFL history, and we don't have enough time to get back into it again because we only got about 5 minutes. All right, guys.
That's because he's not.
See? There
anyway.
We go. Here we go. Okay, let's I'm going to give you all a chance to give me an indication. It's early, and since we've hinted at that, very quickly, who is not going to make the playoffs this year in the West and in the East? Because it's easier to go that way than the other. So I'm gonna say that unfortunately for Ottawa, it's going to be Ottawa that doesn't make the playoffs, but they are going to challenge really well. In the West, I have concerns about Calgary, and it's going to be a hard pick between Winnipeg and Edmonton. But I'm going to say it'll be I'm going with Ottawa, and I'm going with Winnipeg. And Calgary not making the playoffs. Who wants to jump in next?
I'll go next. Frank, I'm going to have to agree with you on one. I'm going to agree with you on two. Ottawa for me and Calgary for me also, because I think Calgary just took 2-3-4 steps back, man, from the last 2 years. And now after this year, heck, I don't even see Huffnagel be on the sidelines. So,
I already wrote Edmonton,
that's
not Mike.
Prediction.
I already wrote Edmonton, Mike.
You wrote Edmonton?
Right?
I said Calgary, man.
Two teams aren't going to make the playoffs in the West.
Oh, okay. Well, Calgary and I say Winnipeg.
Okay, so you told me.
They're going to be a much better team, but they're not going to make the playoffs.
There, so you agree with me 100%. How about you, Kelly?
Edmonton last, Winnipeg second last in the West, and more like, I'm sorry, Serge, I apologize in advance, but Montreal in the East, guys.
Christopher?
Montreal in the East, Edmonton and Saskatchewan.
And not even a sorry, Kelly. Not even a sorry.
Well, if that was worth it, if being wrong was worth it, then I hope so.
Hey, you know what? Really, he was going to say Saskatchewan, too.
It's a good time.
Me too. I had that impression as well. That's all that's left, you guys. You four are the last guys that are in here. Everyone's left and given their choices. Why do you think is Montreal not going to make it, Chris and Kelly, because of their quarterback or because
they're
and coach?
That unproven,
and coach.
Yeah, it's unproven entity at both quarterback and head coach, and also, quite frankly, their O-line is as getting older and older all the time, and it's pretty much that core of guys, with the exception of, I guess, Josh Bork and one other younger guy, I can't remember who, but yeah, it's getting old, and yeah, it's just it's their year out.
And I happen to think Ottawa, Mike, because quite frankly, they will be an expansion team. And I happen to think that there's enough there to begin with for those other three teams, being Toronto, Hamilton, and Montreal, to build on this year. And I don't think any of them can afford not to build on this year. That's a for sure. Okay, now we've got, let's see. Somebody just came in. Who is that?
Danny. Danny's back.
Danny's back. Okay. Well, then, Danny, did you hear the question?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, give us your answer. We only got it less than a minute.
All right, I'm going to go for okay, quickly. I think it's going to be the ones that are going to make it in the West are going to think it's Winnipeg, and I think Edmonton's not going to make it.
And out east, I think it's going to be Montreal.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Okay, you think
like
Montreal,
me.
Why? You don't think they have the quarterback and the coach like the rest of them?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay.
That's the main thing for Montreal right there.
And would it be fair to say in the West, for the guys that are picking Edmonton and Winnipeg, they just have too much ground to make up?
Yep. They have to huge. They have to fight each other, basically.
And the reason Calgary is because they basically they're at the point where they have to rebuild.
I think
okay.
Calgary's upgraded their quarterback situation. I think they're going to be better this year than last year. So.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been Candid Frank Live on Blog Talk Radio. We hope to see you or hear you again Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 11 here on Blog Talk Radio. Join us on Facebook. CFL is the best football in the world. You'll find us all there. The boat logo's there for you as well to hook up to. BC Lions Den. And of course, Serge's house. We'll give you his home phone number so you can talk to him personally. No, I'm just kidding. And Serge, I missed you.
Yeah.
Who do you think is not going to make the playoffs?
I'm not going to say who's going to not make the playoffs. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say
Montreal.
I'm just going to say that I think Hamilton, Winnipeg, Edmonton will make the playoffs. The rest will be a dogfight. So I'm not going to go on that.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is going to – you're right about that. I like I said, we're not – I think this is going to be one of the first years where we're not going to see a 2-16 team or a 4-14 team. I think the worst we're going to see is maybe I'm going to say a 6-12 team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That'll be about the worst we'll see this year. And I bet you maybe even better, maybe 8-10 because there's going to be some dominant teams out there. Again, Serge, thank you for your first time on here. Serge can only make it Mondays, so we look forward to every Monday with Serge, when he's available, of course. And if you can be available on Friday, always welcome. And
right.
Danny, it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking football with you. It's great that you're a collector. Keep us up to date on how your collection's going. And you have something in common with
don't
Kelly.
Worry,
Kelly has a 3-year-old
right,
as well. And Kelly has a 3-year-old as well, so he can empathize with your situation. And when you find a smaller helmet, at least you have somewhere to put it for a short time. Just remember to take it off once in a while before the kid's head grows into it. And apparently Mike has already learned that
lesson.
Oh,
come on. Yes, sir. I just want to say, see it, Daddy's on his way home.
Gentlemen, thanks again. It's been fun. I missed you, John Granger. Called you about 15 times. And kept getting your answering machine. You never picked up. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to hook up with you. And for the people that I didn't get the chance to put the link up soon enough, I apologize to you, but I know you'll be listening on the rewind. Thanks for tuning in. You can also listen to the show on iTunes for free. Talk to you later, everyone. Have a great week.